It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you. Now taxes is so free. Love that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you, America. Man, what a very busy news week. We have had, and we are heading into a very, well, busy news weekend. Great to have you with us wherever you might be listening today, and I just want to say thank you. We are getting some really incredible reports of how well our show is doing in cities across the nation. I think I've heard from about a half a dozen or so radio station owners and program directors, and we are winning our time slot, and that is only because of the great work that you guys are doing. I want you to write down our telephone number. And by the way, it is Open Line Friday. So today's the day you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about on today's program. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. That's something, really a tradition that Rush Limbaugh started at the noon to 3 hour. And it is a tradition that we are continuing. You know, it's interesting. Someone told me, Dylan, a couple of weeks ago, it turns out that our program is now the longest running noon to three show since the passing of Rush Limbaugh. So we're very honored that again we don't step out to take jobs somewhere else, or we don't step away from radio to do TV. We have always been, from day one, we've always been a radio program. That is the most important thing we do. And I love radio. And, you know, a lot of people always say, well, you know, talk radio, it's radio's dead, AM radio's dying. No, that is simply not true. As a matter of fact, when you look at a lot of the industry news surrounding radio, you will find that radio is just as strong today. And many people are getting a little weary of all the podcasts, and they're loving to go, they're going old school. And by old school, they're returning to the roots of radio, where people can call in and have a conversation. You can scream at the radio host. I don't want you to do that, but if you disagree with something I say, well, every now and again, you know, that happens. But all that to say is that I love radio, and it really bothers me when you've got these folks and they've got the huge social media followings. And look, don't get me wrong, we have a huge social media following. But you know who I'm talking about. I don't like naming names. But they use the platform and then they toss it away because they're like, oh, I've got to get on TV. No, you really don't. You really don't need to have you can make an impact by doing what we do here on the radio. And that's one of the reasons why I especially love the locally owned radio stations. And I hope you guys, if you live in a community where you have a locally owned News Talk radio station, you should do whatever you can to help support that radio station. And it doesn't matter if it's volunteering or helping drum up advertising, because you have something that is precious. A lot of these corporate radio stations, all you hear is syndicated programming, and there's nothing wrong with syndicated programming. You don't have any local news. You don't have any local weather. You don't have any local traffic. And that's a problem, right? You have to have a local component to what you do. And we're able to do that as the owners of locally owned, locally operated radio stations. So thank you so much for all of that. All right, our telephone number again, open line Friday. We already have folks calling in. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, but I want to set up the show today. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, yesterday during the tail end of the show, we got the breaking news. Kristi Noem was out and that President Trump had selected Mark Wayne Mullen, the senator from Oklahoma, to replace her at Homeland Security. Well, now we're starting to get a lot of the backstory, and it's important for you to hear this from me. We love President Trump. We love President Trump's agenda. It is a winning agenda, and that has been proven time and time again. The challenge that President Trump has is that not everyone on board in the administration is actually on board with that agenda. Now, they may smile and nod and say, yes, Mr. President, but as soon as the president leaves the room, well, they turn around and they stab the president in the back. Or they take advantage of their platforms to advance their own agenda. And we've said this from day one. The day that Donald J. Trump got elected to his third term in office, the day that happened, I said on this very radio program that the most important thing was getting the president's agenda across the finish line. That's it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. Marco Rubio gets that. Marco Rubio, every single day, is out there delivering on the President Trump's agenda. By the way, so is Pete Hegseth. And as a result of that, they're getting great press because, theoretically, they should be getting great press. They're getting great press from us. But the media hates them. But still, they're doing the job that President Trump asked them to do. They're not out there grandstanding. You know, Marco Rubio, he understands his place in the great scheme of things. He's got, what, 8 or 9 jobs now? And the president loves joking about that because the president, when he sees Marco, when he sees Pete Hegseth, when he sees those men, these are men that are very comfortable in their own skin. They understand their job. And the job is not Pete Hegseth. The job is not Marco Rubio. The job is advancing Trump's agenda. Kristi Noem didn't get that. And by the way, Pam Bondi sure as heck doesn't get it. But right now, we're going to talk about Kristi Noem because there's something going on behind the scenes that you need to be aware of. And it's going to be a challenge. And here's my question for you. And this is, and I hope that we got some calls, people answering this specific question. Do you support the president's deportation plan? And the president's deportation plan is everybody who is here illegally has to leave. Everybody. That's the plan. Or do you believe there should be some carve-outs? Because the carve-outs, I believe, are coming. And I say that because Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the senator from Oklahoma, he is a little soft. I'm not saying totally soft, but he is a little soft on immigration. And it goes back to a conversation he had with Brian Kilmeade, and we've got that audio, and we're going to play that audio in just a moment. But the challenge here with Kristi Noem, first of all, she wasn't doing what President Trump and the White House wanted her to do. Noem is firing back, and we're going to get to her side of the story, but a couple of things. Everything went south after this Senate hearing, and it was a contentious hearing. We told you about Tom Tillis, who was just really inappropriate. But John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, actually asked a very legitimate question about an advertising campaign that Kristi Noem had filmed and then used your tax dollars, $220 million. Take a listen to Senator Kennedy.
How do you square that concern for waste, which I share, with the fact that you have spent $220 million running television advertisements that feature you prominently?
Sir, the president tasked me with getting the message out to the country and to other countries where we were seeing the invasion come from, with putting commercials out that told them that if they were in this country illegally, that they needed to leave, or we would detain them and remove them, and they'd not get the chance to come back to America the right way. That has been extremely effective.
Ask you to run these advertisements, is that right?
We had that conversation, yes, before I was put in this position and sworn in and confirmed, and since then as well.
Okay. Did you bid out those service contracts?
Yes, they did. They went out to a competitive bid, and career officials at the department chose who would do those advertising commercials.
And the people that you ended up picking were people who had formerly done your political work back in South Dakota. Is that right?
No, that's not correct, sir.
I think it is.
No, it's not, sir. The individuals who, I believe the careers who they chose were two different media firms. There's been conversation about their subcontractors, but we have no legal authority to look into subcontractors on work like that.
Okay. And you're saying that you're testifying that President Trump approved this ahead of time, is that my understanding?
We had conversations about making sure that we were telling people.
No, ma'am. I'm asking you, sorry to interrupt, but the president approved ahead of time you spending $220 million running TV ads across the country in which you are featured prominently.
Yes, sir. We went through the legal processes, did it correctly.
Did the president know you were going to do this?
Yes.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And one thing, Senator, I think would be helpful to know is how effective that communications has been. That
overwhelmingly effective in your name recognition. I personally, to me, it puts the president in a terribly awkward spot, and I'm not saying you're not telling the truth. It's just hard for me to believe, knowing the president.
All right, so you get the gist of it. It goes on and on. Do you know that he's the same age as I am? He said, "Poor John Kennedy. He sounds like in his 80s." So look, here's the deal. $220 million. We've seen the video, and you probably have too. It shows Kristi Noem on horseback galloping across the country with these scenic shots of America and talking about how great America is. My question is, why do we need to spend $220 million of our tax money on an advertising campaign? I would much rather spend that money to hire more ICE officers and agents so that we can deport the illegal aliens. Now, here's where it's going to get a little squirrely. It turns out that the advertising campaign was a big issue for the White House, and the White House is throwing Noem under the bus. They're saying they didn't know anything about it. They had no knowledge of this. The very next day, she gets fired. However, and there was also, and you might have heard the allegations of infidelity between Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski. I don't know. I'm not in the bedroom. I can't tell you what happens there, but I do know this. It's very strange. It's weird. People have been talking about this for at least the past couple of years. Everywhere she goes, Corey Lewandowski is by her side and not her husband. I don't know why that. I do not know why. The problem here is that Lewandowski does not get along with Susie Wiles or Chris LaCivita, who were then the president's campaign managers. And now, of course, Susie Wiles is the White House chief of staff. And Noem is suggesting that that's where the problem is, that Susie Wiles is the problem, and she's the one who wanted her out, as well as Lewandowski. By the way, Lewandowski is getting whacked as well. Kristi Noem had a chance to address those issues during the hearing. I think a Democrat actually asked, all right, are you having an affair? And Kristi Noem did not say yes or no. She hemmed and hawed and did not answer the question. That, for me, is problematic. But again, it seems as though for when it came to Homeland Security, Kristi Noem really felt like Lewandowski, she could not do the job without him by her side for whatever reason. Now, here's where the challenge comes in, and we're going to play this audio a little bit later this hour. Mark Wayne Mullen does not share my viewpoint on immigration. He believes there should be some carve-outs for children under the age of 18, some of these so-called DACA kids. And we're going to play that audio so you'll be able to hear it for yourself. We've got to take a quick break here, though. We're going right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie's set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive two free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stern's Radio Show, Open Line Friday. I want to share this intel with you from CBS News, this just coming in, that a senior U.S. official with direct knowledge confirms now that Russia is providing intelligence on U.S. positions in Iran. So, again, this was first reported by the Washington Post. CBS News now confirming that information as well. And not much of a surprise that the Russians are doing that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to start our Open Line Friday in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. The deal about deporting all the illegals. One thing, we need to be realistic about this. There's no realistic way that Trump, under these final 3 years of his administration, is going to deport, I've heard, up to 50 million illegals. That's just not realistically possible. A little bit in Kristi Noem's defense on this advertising thing, I think right now what's more important than the actual numbers and the actual stuff and what the Trump administration ought to be trying to sell, and I don't think they should do it by running $220 million TV commercials, riding horses and stuff. But they need to sell the American people more on why these illegals need to get out of here. They need to start stressing more on the fraud that's linked to them. They need to start stressing more on, you know, they push these violent crimes, which is very important. But these violent crimes are touching a fraction of 1% of this country. The fraud, all the money we're spending, all this stuff with the illegal voting, all the other stuff that's linked to them, touches every one of us.
Well, it does. Steve, let me ask you a question here, because, again, these what's really generating a lot of the news coverage, at least in the conservative side, would be the people that are killed by the illegals. And I understand, you know, those are horrible stories. But if you really want to talk about impact, I think to your point, you need to go in and let's say there's a city like Wichita, Kansas, that's being run by a liberal mayor. You've got Wichita, Kansas, maybe coming in and saying, hey, look, people of Wichita, you've got X number of illegals living in your community. They're using up X number of dollars worth of whatever resources that should be going to the law-abiding taxpayers of Wichita, for example.
That's my point exactly. I think we ought to be putting more emphasis on punishing than trying to make it, because everybody, all the deportees, the Democrats are just using that as against us. I mean, That's what they've really got going.
Steve, all I'm asking is that the Trump administration deport as many people as Barack Hussein Obama did. And I have some serious questions about the so-called millions of people who have self-deported. I have a lot of questions. I'd like to see that documentation. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Coming back with more of your calls.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today on this Open Line Friday. By the way, President Trump issuing an ultimatum now to Iran. We expect nothing more than the unconditional surrender of the Iranian leadership, whoever those people are. You know, they keep getting blown up every day, so there's always a new leader. And you don't want to be that guy, right? So can you imagine being next in line and you're like, I'm good. I was going to say something that could have gotten me in trouble, so my apologies. So anyway, now President Trump says, looks like we may be going into Cuba, as JFK famously called the island nation. That's right, Cuba, ladies and gentlemen, is up next on our international list of, I don't know, are we sending troops, the Air Force? Who knows? We will find out. But you know what we haven't heard a lot of lately? We haven't heard a lot about deportations. And when I look at all the polling data, Republican and Democrat, black and white, I see that well over 80% of the nation want our president and the administration to be focused on deporting the illegals. That's it. All right, let's go to the phones. Johnny, Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Johnny, what's on your mind?
Hello, Ty.
Hello.
Hello. Long time no hear from. I had a knee replacement, so I haven't been able to call and cook.
Oh.
But anyway, Kristi Noem, she was an escape goat. Do you remember when your boss, Trump, called her in the office and said he wanted her to make a video just like the one that she made?
Oh, she you running. Said so escape. You mean scapegoat.
Yeah. Because he called her,
you know,
called
she
her in the office and said.
She shot that goat. Did you hear about that when she was at the family? Well, I'm going to let you finish.
But anyway, that's not what I call about. You know, you called the back, you know, too. Back when Joe Biden was ending the war in Afghanistan. You called Joe Biden the S word, well, not, you know, not SH, but SU, I'm not going to say it, for ending a war without having an evacuation plan. But, you know,
Joe Biden had absolutely no evacuation plan.
Okay. So are you willing to call Trump the SU word for starting a war?
What's the SU
without
word?
Having an evacuation plan? Are you willing to do that?
Oh, you mean that President Trump had no plan to, what, evacuate all the Americans out of Iran or the American forces out of Iran?
He didn't have plans to evacuate no one.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't talking about
mm-hmm.
Americans. I'm talking about, are you willing to call him the same thing that you called Joe Biden?
No, well, no. First of all,
an evacuation
well, first
plan.
Of all, first of all.
You know why? Because you know why?
No,
because
why? You you're going to tell me, aren't you?
Yeah, you got that right. The MAGA maggots. Y'all mm-hmm. have double standards when it comes to other people. You know, what y'all do is right, but what other people do right to you all is wrong. And yesterday you said that I'm cooking.
You're gonna let me jump in here? You're gonna let me? Can you let me respond? No. Let me respond to what you just said, and then I'll let you complete your thought there, Johnny. So look, there's a big difference. The reason why President Trump did not have an evacuation plan for the American troops in Iran is that there are no American troops in Iran. There are no Americans in Iran. So there's nobody to evacuate from Iran, Johnny.
troops are fighting. They're in
no, sir. America. No, they're all. Are you familiar with something called an airplane? It's a fighter jet. They have wings and big engines.
He should have evacuation
stealth?
Plans for a civilian first.
Can't see the stealth.
He should for Army people. But
you ever hear of a submarine, Johnny? You know they're under the water.
Huh?
Ping.
What are you going by submarine?
Ping.
Where are you at?
Ping.
You going all over the place. But
no,
but
yesterday
you said that Trump done everything that he said he was going to do.
Sure did.
Right? You said yeah. He said so. I'm gonna name off a few things that he said that he was going to do. If I got time, I'm gonna run through it right quick. This is what he said that he was going to do, and that he done. He done everything that he said that he's going to do. He said he's going to stop the war within 24 hours. He done that. He said that
stop what
that
war?
Any war. Let's go quick because I know I ain't got that much time. He said that he would not start a war, and he done that. You know, he done everything that he said that he was going to do. He said he would bring prices down. You know, he done
that. That's right. Prices are down. That's right. They're going back up, though, because of the war in the Middle East. Yeah.
Till you MAGA maggots that got blinders on, the prices.
Now, Johnny, have I used any derogatory language to attack you for being a far-left lunatic? No. What are you doing calling us all maggots? Why would you say that?
But Trump have. He said that. He would stop government spending. How much is it costing the American people for this useless nonsense war that they can't even get their lie together on? How much have it cost American people? You know how much it's costing, Todd? Give me your number.
I'm just curious. You brought it up. Look, here's the thing, Johnny. Here's the thing, and I don't want to be your scapegoat here, but hear me on this. This is... The president clearly has intel that you, Johnny, do not have access to. And Iran is a clear and present danger, not just to the homeland, but to American troops all over the world. And you and I both know, you're old enough to remember what happened back in 1979, and Republican and Democrat lawmakers kicked the can down the road, and Johnny... Donald J. Trump is finally doing what Jimmy Carter should have done back in 1979. And I'm telling you, thousands of Americans would still be alive today.
They're near 50 years ago now.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that offensive to you? Doesn't that bother you?
But if you bring up Trump paying a prostitute, you say, why are you?
No, he never did, Johnny. He never did. I'm not going to let you. No, you're not going to lie about Donald Trump, Johnny. I'm not going to let you do that because President Trump will sue. And I don't want President Trump to sue you. Johnny, before we let you go, I got to circle back to the very beginning of the conversation. You said you had knee replacement. How you doing? Are you getting around?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. That's why you haven't heard from me in a while. Y'all had total knee replacement.
You must still be on meds. Are you still on meds? I think you may be on meds.
That's why I haven't had a chance to cook you because, you know, I've been.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't want to waste my time, you know, when I'm not at work.
All right.
Calling and talking to you because all you do is lie and talk nonsense, you know what I'm saying, you know, and talk idiotic stuff.
All right, Johnny, do me a favor. Next time you call in, make sure you're not on the meds. You got to give them a chance to work through the system, all right? Maybe, Johnny, I'm glad you're feeling better, Johnny. Thank you. What just happened here? What? Dylan?
Wait, don't ask me. I don't know.
Who's the escape goat? That's what I like. What goat is... But you know, she did kill the goat. Yep. Smelled bad.
The goat didn't escape.
No, the goat did not
escape.
There
was no scapegoat.
And I just hope to God in a new job, she's not going to be surrounded by any farm animals. Especially ones that might have a peculiar odor about them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, geez, Alou. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, see what I mean? We take all calls here on the program. Even people who think that yours truly is a, what do you call us, a MAGA maggot? Is that what he calls? Oh, boy. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm going to play some audio here. We had a great conversation on the Newsmax show this week. Our good buddy Dalton Glasscock and Josh Jones. Josh comes on, I believe, every Tuesday. And they were talking about the Iran war and specifically why Gen Zers are opposed to it. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Gentlemen, good to see both of you. Dalton, I want to start with you. What do you think of what Congressman Burchett had to say there?
Well, Representative Burchett can always talk about serious issues while also offering some level of humor, which is much needed, especially when we're talking about heated subjects. But I think he's right. People should be vigilant, and they should hold people accountable, especially elected officials accountable, to make sure that those fears aren't realized. And I think those are legitimate fears from the American people. And I also hope this is not a forever war. And I trust those in the administration right now to try and make sure the Iranian people are able to achieve their freedom.
Josh, House Speaker Mike Johnson telling reporters today, quote, "We are not at war right now." Is that the messaging the American people and Republican voters are looking for?
Look, Speaker Johnson's a great leader for the Republicans in the House, but I think the message for Republicans across the board right now needs to be, we've been at war with Iran for years. This didn't start on Saturday. This has been happening for years. They're the world's biggest sponsor of terror, and they've killed Americans via proxy for years, American service members and citizens. So the notion that this is uncalled for, it's just totally unfounded. I mean, this is a war that's been raging in the background for years, but President Trump is the first president that's had the courage to actually stand up and take down this regime to save American lives in the long run. And I think that's the message that the Speaker and Republicans need to take to the American voters.
Yes, since 1979, guys, 1979. President Trump back in 1980 actually told a reporter we needed to go in and take care of business in Iran. Way back then, some 40 years ago. Dalton, just a couple of days ago, we had some Gen Z conservatives on this very program adamantly against the war with Iran. Here is Jackson Heberlin from Clemson University, from the College Republicans. Let's listen.
I do think that we will see rabid blowback from a lot of Trump's strongest supporters, and I feel as though I am one of them. Like many Americans, I've grown tired of endless wars in the Middle East, and I feel as though time and time again we've been led with an easy war that will be quick and has a really good reason to occur. And yet I see it as very, very rare that these things turn out the way that we want them to. I'm very skeptical of regime change like Priya, and I can say for me at least, this has rapidly decreased my trust in the presidency and in our current administration.
All right, Dalton, where are the youngsters getting this sort of stuff at?
Well, first, I'm going to age you a little bit. 1979, I wasn't even thought of at that point. And so this has been going on well beyond how old I
Thank
am.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
So, when we're talking about this issue, Americans historically have been isolationist until we can't be any longer. And that's a privilege because of our location being protected by two oceans. But we're naive if we think that these policies will, or that America is safe solely because we're isolation. It's because of interventions in the past. And I trust the power of the presidency. He's been given more information that I will not be given. And he's been given more information and briefings than any of us will ever get in our lifetime. And that's why we elect a commander-in-chief to be able to make decisions when presented before them, to be able to act on behalf of the safety of American citizens and American service members. And that is a role of the presidency. I don't want to know about every single detail about why we have to intervene in something. That is the job of the president.
You know, that's a good point. And again, a reminder here, guys, not a single thing has leaked out of the Pentagon. I mean, it's you got to give props there to the War Secretary. They're running a pretty tight ship. That being said, Josh, what do you say to these younger conservatives who say, hey, look, it's America first. We should not be over there fighting Iran because that's not an America first issue?
Look, I would argue the opposite. It is an American first issue. President Trump's been clear about that. Going back all the way to 2016, the president's been clear about asserting American dominance back onto the world stage because it was decimated after Obama. It was decimated during Biden. And this is a clear message to our adversaries around the world that America's back. And you can't just say and do whatever you want and expect no consequence. Peace through strength only works if deterrence is there. So if we draw a red line in the sand, we have to act on that. President Trump's been clear about that, and that'd be my message to those Republicans who may be apprehensive about this. Look, no one likes a war, but sometimes it's a necessary thing.
You know, Dalton, that seemed to be a big argument among the America First crowd. You've got Steve Bannon, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, MTG, the list goes on. And they're saying we have no business fighting these wars, this isolationist wing of the party. What do you tell those folks?
Todd, my first memory was 9/11. That is the first cognitive memory I have in my life. And I saw what terrorism can do to this country. And we see Iran funding these operations, which is what my first memory in life was. We have to be able to make sure that we're addressing these conditions and making sure that we show that America is an idea and we also are a country simultaneously.
Josh, I want to give you the last word here. It just seems to me America first means making sure that we don't have enemies that are going to put nuclear clouds over American cities. And that's what the president's trying to do here, doing what other presidents should have done but failed to do.
You are 100% correct. That's what this administration is following through on. And that's what the Secretary of State is following through on, the Secretary of War, and they're doing a great job. And they should be commended for that.
Yeah, this is it's like someone said on a scale of 1 to 10, and the president said that it's a 15. Every single military leader, including those that have been critical of President Trump in the past, have actually said this White House has done a phenomenal job managing the war in Iran. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Don in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Don, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've got a question for you, Todd. I'm a longtime listener and a frequent caller. I happen to wonder what's going on with Kristi Noem. I thought she was doing a heck of a job, and now she's been replaced. Now, I understand she's been moved to a new position. Was this a promotion or was it a demotion? What's going on there? Do you know?
No, this is it's going to be a newly created position, and this is a demotion. I know that a lot of folks on the America First side are saying, "Oh, this is a promotion." No, she's being booted out of the cabinet. So it's not a promotion, Don. There's been a lot of feuding, and we're starting to get her side of the story, and her side is that there were people within the White House who were trying to stop her. They did not like Corey Lewandowski, and it seems as though she's trying to blame Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita. By the way, this coming out of exclusive reporting from the Daily Caller. So there's been some bad blood there, and I think the tipping point was this Senate hearing the other day where she admitted to spending $220 million on an advertising campaign.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I missed that part.
Yeah.
I thought she was doing a heck of a job, so, I mean.
Well, there had been, and we have been sharing, I don't think we connected it to Kristi Noem. Maybe we should have done a better job of that. But, there have been some problems for a while. And a lot of it goes back to something I said last night on Newsmax, that at the end of the day, it's not about the cabinet secretaries, and it's not about Corey Lewandowski or Kristi Noem or Pam Bondi or even Jeanine Pirro. This is about Donald J. Trump. That's the only reason they're there, and you've got to put aside, you've got to be willing. One of the challenges here, Trump's got some great people. The problem is they've also got great egos, and these people are going to have to figure out a way to put their egos to the side so they can do the job that Trump wants them to do.
Okay, I'll buy into that. That sounds good. I realize there's a lot of those people up there have egos that's unbelievable. But I hate to see her get demoted. I moved to a different position. Okay, fine. But then I don't know all the ins and outs, and I know that.
Don, well, I appreciate you calling in, and we're going to flush all of this out a little bit later. We've got more to share with you on this, so you hang tight. Thank you for calling in. Folks, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit, and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, more of your calls. Also, did you know that swimming requirements could, in fact, be racist? Yeah, we're going to tell you about why colleges are removing their swim requirements for graduation. Also, our good buddy Joe Messina is on the way, and some breaking news coming up after the top of the hour. 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show Open Line Friday.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stern.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Along for 3 hours of great conservative conversation, we'll share a few laughs along the way as well. Today, by the way, Open Line Friday, and we're going to get to your calls in just a matter of moments. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. So I'm very excited as we are nearing, we're about 50 days until the launch of my brand new book. It's called, what is the name of the book called, Dylan? The Golden Age.
Yes.
The Golden Something.
You should know, not me.
The Golden Age. No, it's, I was saying Star Spangled. That was was my devotion book.
You have
book.
A lot of books.
I've got a lot of books.
Good books.
I think this is book number 10. Jeez, Aloo. You know, a lot of people ask me, do you write all of your books? Yes, I do. And I will not name names, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. There's nothing wrong with this at all. But a lot of talk radio hosts who do write books, there are several. They're not a lot, but there are several. And they use ghostwriters. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, because that's, you know, a great way for people to make a living, and people go in and they write. You say, well, what is a ghostwriter? Well, a ghostwriter is somebody who goes in and they get paid to write a book. And then they will put the name of the famous person on the cover of the book. And it's a very common practice in the publishing business. But my writing style, they say is unique. I think it's just weird, but people enjoy my writing style, and it's very hard for someone to mimic that. So what you see is what you get, and I write all of my books. So anyway, I've been working on this one for a while, and I've been squirreling away notes here and there with the interviews I've done with President Trump over the past several years. And I really wanted to write a book that would celebrate the incredibly great accomplishments of President Trump over these past several years and really explore the idea of the Golden Age. What did the president mean when he said he was going to usher in the Golden Age of America? Well, I write about that, and then I set the stage for the midterm elections, because there is a turn coming in American politics and in American culture. And I think ultimately when you examine what Donald Trump has done for this nation and who he is for this nation and what he means for the nation, this is a consequential presidency here. This is not some sort of a flash in the pan. This is a president who has had a profound impact, not just on politics and not just on world affairs, but on the culture of America, the very fiber of what it means to be an American. And I really do believe that historians will look back on the Trump years in office, and they will write in very positive ways about how Donald Trump has changed the course of American history, much like Franklin Delano Roosevelt did when he served almost four terms in office. I mean, what FDR did really transformed what it means to be an American. So I think Donald Trump is one of those kinds of president, one of these transformational presidencies. And so I wrote about this in the book, and also I wanted to take a look at the midterms. The book will be out in May, and the midterms, we will just start. I mean, it'll really start picking up the coverage around May and June as we go into the summer months. And I wanted to make sure that you had this in your hands so that you could understand what is really at stake here, because all of the good that President Trump has done can be undone by Republicans staying home and independents staying home and not voting in the midterm elections. So the name of the book, again, it's called The Golden Age. Stop laughing, Dylan. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And when our Joseph Huntley is my designer, he one of the deals we work out with our publishing houses is that we get to pick the person who designs the cover. And Joseph has done a wonderful job. He's designed the covers for, gosh, six or seven of my books. And he's just a phenomenal designer. And so we said, Joseph, we've got to have a, it's got to be a Great Gatsby kind of like roaring 20s, you know, sort of feel. And when you look at the book cover, and those of you, if you've had a chance to see it, you know, it looks just like the cover of, you know, a Great Gatsby movie. Did a great job. So anyway, you can pre-order it. And that's the encouragement here, is to pre-order a copy of the book. And you can do that at Amazon. You can do it at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's not available yet on my website because we really want to move the pre-orders through the bookstores. That's going to be very, very important. So if you could help us out, I want you to pre-order a copy now, and I think they're going to give you a great discount. It's about a 300-and-some-odd page book, so it's a big book, and we cover a lot of ground, and I can promise you, you're going to love it. It's so inspirational, and there are some pretty doggone funny moments in the book as well. So be sure to get yourself a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, written by yours truly. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. We're heading to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. John, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing well, and Todd, the Lord bless you on your upcoming new book. I want to make a slight rebuttal to that previous call. He said he's still on his medication as far as after his knee surgery goes. I'm listening to this guy talk to you, and obviously he got his facts mixed up quite badly. When he talked about an evacuation plan, I think he was talking about Afghanistan. Trump had an evacuation plan when we were pulling out of Afghanistan, and Joe Biden was the one that messed it up. Get that guy's facts straight. And I just love the way you destroyed him. He didn't understand. It was Afghanistan, not Iran or Iraq. I just wanted to make that point. And obviously, he called us names. And Todd, you were very graceful in calling that mule muffin sniffer, calling him out. But I just wanted to make that
wait,
fact.
Okay? Wait, I'm sorry. You call him a mule muffin sniffer.
Yes, a mule muffin sniffer or a cow pie pounder.
Oh.
But the point is, Todd, is that he didn't know his facts.
Yeah,
guys,
no.
Obviously, and the thing about it is, Todd, you did try to make the facts known. We are not boots on the ground. President Trump is trying to avoid that. And what he's basically doing is using air supremacy. And here's another thing the previous caller didn't understand. Did you hear about that Navy frigate from Iran? They literally ran to another port and surrendered their ship. Remember that one, too? Wait, there's more. And everything that he does is he is trying to avoid the loss of American lives.
Well, sure.
Unfortunately, those six soldiers were killed by a drone attack. But, you know, my son's brother, because from, you know, one of my son's relatives, is currently in Kuwait. Now, first thing I did is I called to make sure his relative was okay, and he was, but he believes in the mission. It's taking, and obviously your previous caller didn't understand, we've been at war with Iran since 1979.
That's right.
And the only difference now is this becoming more prevalent, and we are kicking their butts and taking names. So the mule muffin sniffer needs to do his homework before he does anything else. And Todd, seriously, just let me make this real quick. I love you and your staff, You guys have always given us a forum to speak with my wife and I, being a veteran. I'm trying to encourage her to call because she's smarter than me. And I just wanted to tell you, I truly, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you. And you're one of the reasons, and listening to you and talking about your faith, you make me a better pastor.
Well,
staff does too.
Well, you're kind to say that, John, and we certainly appreciate when you call in and you offer great, great commentary and analysis as always, and along with a little sense of humor is a mule muffin sniffer. Dylan, I'm going to have to remember that. We're going to have to write that one.
I literally said that in here. I was like, we're going to use that almost every day now, probably.
It sounds a little sexual, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. I know. Which reminds me, we've got to play this audio. This is from a congressional hearing. Speaking of weird, it turns out the Biden administration was using your tax. I know this is going to sound absurd, but the Biden administration was actually using your tax dollars to make maps, like, you know, Rand McNally, and to make maps more homosexual. Take a listen.
Can you tell me what is queering the map?
So I think we were trying to make the maps more gay.
Literally?
How do you make
a map more gay?
I mean, especially
or
with
gay
AI,
at all.
You know, since the age of cartography, we've had pretty good maps, but maybe they weren't gay enough. So I know also I took critical theory in college. I think sometimes use queer as a verb. I do understand that the maps that we were trying to make gay were, I think, of Czechia and Slovakia. So maybe those countries asked for it. I doubt it, but I don't know.
We do have real things to work on in Congress, like what's going on with the imminent threat of Iran. And it is embarrassing that we have to talk about the fact that things like this were funded. Non-binary and trans francophones, linguistic attitudes and ideologies towards inclusive French in Montreal, Canada, these things. I'm going to give you a list. My time has expired. I'm going to give you a list of these. And any of these that you can provide me the receipt for, the Facebook link to where they wanted to take photos of how they were doing a DEIA flash mob in Kyrgyzstan, you know, whatever documentation they have of all of these things, we would love to see that and would absolutely love to know the individuals specifically that were busy writing these grants because they have no business
receiving. Stop. So wait a second. So basically now they're telling us, Dylan, is this true that Slovakia is a gay country, right?
Well, they said they didn't want to, but they asked for it.
They
wanted to be a gay. They wanted to be gay.
That sounds like a Me Too movement, right?
Yeah, a little bit too close.
Wow. It made me feel uncomfortable. So I wonder how the Slovakians feel about this. Their country's queer. That's unfortunate.
Sorry, Slovakia. Sorry.
We don't judge here. I mean, what was the other country? Was it Czechoslovakia as well or just Slovakia?
I don't know. Neither sounds good for them.
No, it's not good. Now, if you had asked me, I would have thought, I mean, again, maybe Rhode Island. I guess I could have seen that. California, definitely. At least Berkeley. So I decided to go in to ChatGPT. And I was wondering how mule muffin sniffer translates into Slovak. And Dylan, according to ChatGPT, it does not have a direct Slovak equivalent, but there is a literal translation. And the literal translation would mean, quote, sniffer of mule's backsides.
Well, there you go. No harm done. We're all good here.
How dare you! Joseph Biden, you sniffer of mule backside. That's terrible. All right, we got to take a... Wow. Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right, let's go to New Bern, North Carolina. Wayne is listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind today?
Well, I hope I'm not a little too late. You asked a question earlier about did we agree with immigration, you know, sending back all illegals or carving it out. I think that was your question.
Wayne, let me ask you, are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
Yes.
Why don't you pick up that phone
there.
Perfect. All right.
I'm off.
Yes.
Sorry about
By
that.
The way, it's never too late on Open Line Friday. You control the conversation.
Yeah. And so, I mean, with your question like that, it seems all these people that are not upset with the illegals coming over here would probably more upset if you cut in line at a movie theater with them. I have sort of a different perspective, and I hope I'm not redundant with, I had to take a break. I couldn't listen to any of the call-ins on this subject. So not that it matters, but I'm a retired Marine. And so my situation happened because of my travels in the military. End up marrying a Philippine lady and stuff like this. So my perspective is I've actually sponsored like probably around 7 people from the Philippines to come over legally to the States. And each time, I don't recall there being tons of money involved, but there was a lot of time. And I had to sign my agreement that I had to sign said that I was responsible for all of these people. You know, these were at different times. It wasn't all at once. Every time I was responsible for the next 3 years of these people financially, that they were not allowed to go on any government assistance during that time. And that's kind of going through the legal way. And so for me, it burns me that people just jump the line. And I know there are lots of good people and stuff, but you can't, in my mind, you can't just, you know, have rules for them. I liken it to, hey, we gave you a good run for 10 years here, but now you have to go because it was illegal. Well, you still had a good 10 years here. So I lack a little bit of sympathy in that regards that way. But I think it's...
So you think they all... Wayne, you think everybody here illegally has to go and come back the right way?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, for me, it's as much as, look, everybody who came across, and that's like Mark Wayne Mullen's position is, everybody who came here during the Biden years, they all have to go back. But it's open for debate what we do with the folks that came across, you know, before Biden took office. That tells me that there is going to be a softening of the position on the issue of who gets deported moving forward.
Yeah, well, it is sort of like the reparations thing, though, too. You know, it's not going to be fair to any or all, no matter how you look at it. So, again, I think these people have benefited. They, in their little way with the immigration, they have had somewhat reparations for them in that they were able to live here for as long as they did. And I don't know where they keep coming up and saying they all, you know, they make it sound like they're all contributing to the taxes and stuff. And... you know, I find that hard to believe because if they don't have socials and don't have this, how they could even track something like that.
Wayne, we've got to leave it there, my friend, but it's a good thought. And thank you for serving our great nation. And thank you for making sure, again, we want legal immigrants. We want people here coming the right way, the legal way. And you've been a part of that. And I really appreciate you for toeing the line there. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. Hey, during the break, head over to toddstearns.com. We have a lot of great content for you to check out there. And it's all free. You can download our free podcast. You can even download our free newsletter. Comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, let's get to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Arnez in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Arnez, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? And happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you.
All right. I'm trying to be as quick as I can. It's March, and we're, what, some 8-9 months away from the midterms? And I can honestly say that, you know, I didn't believe it was even possible, but somehow things have gone bad to worse for Republicans. Even on the night of the State of the Union, Democrats somehow flipped a seat, flipped the congressional seat in Pennsylvania. And just this week, they also, during Election Day, or primary Election Day, they flipped the seat in Arkansas, of all places. Arkansas. And just the, and just today, we found out we lost 92,000 jobs in February alone. On top of this, on top of this Iran war that nobody wanted, nobody asked for, with with oil prices spiking, it's looking bad. And my only concern with Republicans, especially this, is after they lose the House, or after they basically lose the House, which they will. Now's the time. Y'all really have. The question I want to know is, who's going to be the candidate to run in 2028? Simply because now's the time you need to be you need to figure out who your candidate is, or at least have a short list of who they are. You need to fundraise, because presidential elections aren't cheap. To just to run for president alone runs upwards of $1 billion, and I don't think most people don't have that just laying under the couch somewhere. And then the one thing I heard during the entire time after Kamala Harris was the Democratic nominee is, are the Republicans going to have a primary? Are they going to primary a candidate?
Oh, so, I have no doubt about that. And Arnaz, I just wanted to kind of hear you out here, and I want to try to answer some of your questions. I'm really not going to disagree with you. I mean, the numbers are bad for February. They're not good. I think the labor market, for example, let me get to the labor market in a moment. Gas prices are going up. That's because of what's happening with the war. That is a residual effect. Those prices should come down once the war ends. Grocery prices have been still pretty high, and a lot of that is because the price of diesel, which fuels the trucks, the price of diesel has yet to come down. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of these retailers are not going to lower prices unless people really start raising a stink about it and or just stop buying the product. So those are all big problems. And is it possible this could be an anomaly? And so far, it is an anomaly, Arnaz. I mean, we've seen great, great growth in the labor market up until February. So this could be an anomaly. And I'd like to see what those numbers are going to look like, the March numbers, when they come out in April. You know, let's take a look then. But I will say this, there are problems. And that's clear to me based on the turnout or the lack of turnout from Republican voters in these major primary elections, Texas and North Carolina being the most recent examples of it. So I'm really not disagreeing with you a lot on your assessment here.
It's like you're absolutely right. And the thing is, it's like you also got to look at the top of the ticket, because, you know, we just saw Kristi Noem lose her job yesterday, which was bound to happen, because I mean she definitely pissed off with more than enough people on all sides. And you look at Trump's approval rating, which, I mean, since Gallup doesn't do approval numbers anymore, we don't know what that is. But I know the last one was down to at least 37-38%. And once you get to 33%, which very well can happen, that's when you cut into the base. The long story short is, right now, the American people are simply not buying what this administration is selling. And either they have a strong desire to turn that around, or they just don't care. That's pretty much where we're at right now.
Well, Arnaz, I will say this. There has been some polling data, and this is from Newsweek. Newsweek says that the president's approval rating has actually edged higher in recent weeks, reversing. There had been a downward trend, but now it appears those numbers are going up. So, again, everything is sort of fluid right now. I will say this, and we're going to have to wrap this because we got to get to Joe Messina. But, Arnaz, I'll say this. If the economy does take a turn for the worse, and if gas prices are still high and grocery prices are still out of reach come, you know, October and November, Republicans are going to lose. I mean, it's that simple, because American voters, they vote on pocketbook issues, and that's ultimately what's going to decide who controls Congress. Arnaz got to run. Great call, though. Let's bring in our good friend, nationally syndicated radio host, Joe Messina. Joe, I hope you're doing well today. And you heard Arnaz there sort of rattling off. I mean, what he said was not incorrect. You know, it was tough job numbers that came out today.
Yeah, but I want to make sure that people understand, if you've been watching some of these major corporations, and I'm not making excuses for Trump, let's just be clear, but you're watching these major corporations around the planet talking about AI and how they're incorporating AI into their day-to-day use, and a lot of these jobs that we're talking about being lost, what was it, there was 7,000 jobs or something, whether it was Facebook, a lot of the big companies are laying off a bunch of people. And it's not due to a lack of work. It's due to the AI issue. So I really would like to know how many of those job numbers were due to AI / technology. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fair question. I know that in the healthcare industry, and I'm not sure they don't break down, you know, AI, you know, what AI was responsible for. They lost about 19,000 jobs in February, and a lot of that was due to a nurses' strike in California. So so you can kind of factor that into it as well.
Well, you see that there were mandatory raises given here, you know, for the fast food industry, for the hospitality industry, for the for the medical industry. And I don't know how much of that, honestly, that the nurses got or were able to partake of. But, again, a lot of these hospitals are cutting back. They're cutting back on people. They're going more to automated services. In my area, we have two major hospitals, and the nurses were concerned here about how many of the jobs were being taken over, again, by AI devices, robots, delivering food, delivering medications. There's a lot to this. I know, Todd, if you were paying attention way back, I was in the technology world for 20 years. And I remember the crying that went on when we brought in new equipment, because the accounting department would go from 10, 11, 12 people down to 3 or 4, because the computers were doing a lot of the work that people were doing manually. So I think there's a lot more to this than just what people perceive as a bad economy.
I think about 90,000, there are about 90,000 jobs that were lost. One of those, by the way, came from an AI company, the company behind Square, Cash App. They cut their staff by 40% because of AI. So those jobs, and they laid off more than 1,000 people, 4,000 people rather, more than 4,000 people lost their jobs. And they were replaced by artificial intelligence, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I did a piece the other night, it was pretty creepy, about a restaurant that actually has robots that are serving people. And I'm not so sure, that's not a place I'd go right now. It just looked weird.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know. You know, we have a couple of those here in the Memphis area, like they're like Mexican restaurants, and I don't know. I haven't actually been to one of those restaurants. We were joking around, though, that you asked the little robot came. It was wearing a sombrero and asked for more ice, and the thing just whipped around and took right out the front door. But, no, I am curious, though, how is that working up? Because I was reading where a new McDonald's is coming up, and there's no actual staffing right at the front. It's all, you know, it's all automated.
Have you been to one of those that actually looks like a humongous iPhone? So they make it as easy as they can for you to go ahead and hit the right buttons and order what you want. So, yeah, I've seen that. I also, if you Google it, there's also a small restaurant chain that's totally automated. So you place your order, and the robot flips the hamburger. They put it all together, put it in a bag, and serve it to you. And, when you're here in California, when you're looking at fast food joints that are giving you $20, $22, $23 an hour, I go through Burger King. Not that I, you know, and I get myself a hamburger, chicken fries, and a Coke, and I'm spending $22, $23, and I'm looking for the second bag because I can't believe that one little bag cost me that much money.
Here's the headline from the Today Show: Burger King is testing an AI chatbot to check if employees say please or thank you. That's sort of creepy. That's kind of like 1984, right? That's insane.
Todd, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio. I actually started arguing with a Wiener Schnitzel, which is a hot dog joint, one of those drive-up windows. And I'm telling it, I wanted the mustard, the ketchup on the bottom of the bun. And it couldn't get the order right. It couldn't. I finally gave up and drove up to the window. I said, "Help me out here, will you? I'm speaking English. What's wrong with this thing?" And he explained to me it was an AI. It's now an AI product that takes the orders for people and puts it up on their screen.
By the way, speaking of fast food, have you tried the new Big Arch over at McDonald's?
No. I saw the CEO. He looked so disingenuous when he was eating that thing. I don't think he's ever eaten a McDonald's hamburger.
No, exactly. I'm like, that guy, he smells of matcha. That's what, matcha and avocado toast.
Yeah.
When you
totally agree with you.
The guy smiles. Yeah, this guy, he does. He wears the little sweater, and he looks like, he looks like one of those reality TV shows where they've got like 14, 15 kids. He looks like the father of one of those, like with the little hairdo, the whole nine yards. And so he's trying to eat the Big Arch, and you're right. It's very clear that he just can't do it, and he has this weird look on his face.
Look at how big this thing is. Look at, I'm going, oh, really? Have you seen the double Whopper?
Come and then on, he dude, takes a little, break. Well, then he takes a little bite out of it. It's like it's like how a woman would eat a hamburger and not a man. You know, the men, you go all in. On the burger, but he's like nibbling, and so now Burger King is like mocking the guy. So they haul their guy out, their CEO,
good,
and he's like taking a big manly bite out of the the double Whopper.
Yep. Do you remember the old Carl's Jr. commercial with the barbecue sauce dripping all over the guy's face? And that's how you eat a hamburger.
Oh,
that's how you get me to show up. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm watching the videos as we're chatting. It's just the. It looks like men go to Burger King and wusses go to McDonald's. I mean, that's the whole,
And soy boys go to McDonald's.
That's,
got it.
That's it.
God, now I'm hungry. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It is what it is. What can I say? The great Joe Messina joining us, ladies and gentlemen, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Joe, I'm really curious. Lots of chatter coming out of Texas about who Trump is going to endorse in this Senate race between Ken Paxton, who is the MAGA person, and then John Cornyn, the incumbent. Where do you fall on that one?
On my show, people have been pounding on me saying, Paxton's got too much personal baggage. I'm so tired of hearing that. Everybody's got personal baggage. Look how much personal baggage that Trump had. Cornyn. How many times has he really backed President Trump? And I'm getting kind of irritated with the loyalty thing because it doesn't always work out. He needs to hold their feet to the fire. If I was President Trump, I would go with Paxton because I think he'll drive the point home. I think he'll actually do the work.
I don't think people, and maybe we have a lot of listeners in Texas, maybe they can help me out here. I don't think the average American understands how much Texas Republicans hate John Cornyn. I don't think they understand the level of hatred there, and they just feel betrayed, and rightfully so.
I don't blame them. Look, you and I have had these discussions before, and we're having a lot of these discussions on my show as to what have the Republicans done, Todd? I mean, I'm really irritated at the fact that we should be a lot further along with the bills that have been put out on the table, force the Democrats to vote on these things. Look at Thune. He's not doing anything for us. Put it out there. Whip these people into shape, and I wouldn't pass another bill. I would really, I was upset last night about the bill that Congress passed. Don't pass another bill till they vote on the SAVE Act, period. Let them stew in it.
I've got more to say about this coming up in the next hour, but I will leave the conversation with this. I think that Republicans, if they want to save their careers, they've got to boot John Thune out of leadership. He's got to go. Got to go.
Yep.
All right, Joe, where can people go if they want to get more intel?
Real simple. JoeMessina.com, JoeMessina.com. And Todd, God bless for what you do, man. I really do love listening
to
your show.
All right. God bless you, Joe. JoeMessina.com, JoeMessina.com. Go check it out there. Folks, a Social Security update here. 70 million Americans collect Social Security today. A new study finds 70% of Americans do not get the full benefits they deserve, but recipients can use a very simple strategy to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over your lifetime. That's what our friend Michael Allen, a Social Security expert, is telling us, and he has five key strategies to help you increase your Social Security benefits. Newsmax is now offering this free special report just for listeners of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You're going to be able to get this report free of charge. All you have to do is call 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to text it to you right away. Call now, 800-999-9690. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, another full hour of Open Line Friday. We are just opening up the lines, letting you guys just, it's sort of like therapy, right? We don't charge for it, though. So it's free therapy, and you can work out whatever aggressions you have, whatever issues you may have. We will be happy to help you out there. Also, be sure to pre-order a copy of my brand new book called The Golden Age. Stop. Dylan, can we put a
There's
sign
golden
up?
in that book title? Yeah,
I don't know what is going on with my brain. How Trump Saved America.
You have a lot of books.
I have a lot on my mind. Yes. Be sure to pre-order a copy. But right now, we are going to give away a copy. We got a little trivia question. We'll have to hold you over. So if you call, you can call during the break. You know, we were talking about McDonald's announcing a brand new menu item. They got a brand new burger on the menu. You've got to tell us the name of that burger. What is the name of the new McDonald's hamburger? And if you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Always fun to have the staff is panicking right now. No need to panic. We just want to give you some great prizes as we head out to the weekend. So again, if you can tell us the name of the new burger that McDonald's just launched, we're going to hook you up with a great, great prize package. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Hello, everybody. It's already hour three. This day is just flying by. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. We're going to be talking to Louisiana Congresswoman Julia Letlow in just a little while. Also, Congressman Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin is going to drop by. So we've got some great conversations. Today, also Open Line Friday, and we love opening up the phone lines and letting you guys just have at it. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what I'm doing this weekend? I'm excited, Dylan. I'm actually taking a weekend off.
Oh, wow. This is like the first one in how many years?
I don't know, 20 years? Yeah, something like that. I'm going to the Mid-South military show.
Yes.
Which kicks off today at Landers Center in South Haven, Mississippi. And they're expecting a huge crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's Friday and Saturday, and we had the guy in charge of it on yesterday's show. And all this military equipment, the uniforms, artifacts. I'm a big collector of political stuff. I love the old school campaign buttons and things like that. So I'm hoping I might be able to find some of those. So I'm a man on a mission this weekend.
You're going to have to bring back a souvenir, you know.
I could do that.
Maybe like a...
A snack? Like
a rifle?
A rifle.
If you could just snag one of the rifles.
You can buy them. They're selling those. Yes. It's a buy, trade, or sell. So I may have to do that.
Behind you in the studio.
We could, you know what? To signify the end of the hour, we could just, you know, squeeze off a couple of rounds.
It's true.
All right. We've got a trivia question on the table. Let's go to Anderson in Iowa. Anderson, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And tell me, where are you calling from the great state of Iowa?
Decorah.
All right.
Tiny little northeast corner.
Well, very nice. You know, we have our good friend Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL in Waterloo. So he's, So are you anywhere near Waterloo?
About an hour and a half north of Waterloo.
All right. It's funny. People don't realize, Iowa is sort of compact, but it's a pretty big state.
It is. It takes a while to drive either way.
It does. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but it gets freezing cold in the wintertime.
No kidding.
Yeah. The first time I went to Iowa, I was working at Fox News, Anderson, and I covering politics. And so I went there in the fall and it was lovely. And I thought, wow, Des Moines is great. I went to Iowa City. I travel all over the state. I'm like, man, I could move here. And then they sent me back in February and I thought, sweet Lord, how do people survive in this state?
Well, I have 21 horses. So regardless of the weather, I'm out doing my
chores. Wow. 21 horses. Why do you have 21 horses?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I've just always been a horse fanatic. I have my own stud and a few mares, so I raise a few babies. I trail ride. I travel. I have a big camper. I travel with them. They're my life.
Wow, good for you. You know, we have a stud on the Todd Stern Show, but, pardon me. That's
okay, which one of y'all is it?
Well, if you have to ask, Anderson, come on. It's Dylan, are you all right over there?
It's me, isn't it?
This is taking a very weird turn.
Maybe I'll plead the fifth.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about McDonald's, because they're making headlines over this brand new burger they have on the menu. And Anderson, I'm wondering if you can tell us what are they calling this new burger?
The Big Arch.
I'm loving it. Yeah, that's it. I'm loving it. Anderson, congratulations. Yeah, the Big Arch.
Awesome.
Have you been able to consume a Big Arch yet?
I have not been to McDonald's in like 25 years, but it was really entertaining watching the CEO like take a nibble of the bread, and then I've been watching all the parodies on Facebook. It's hysterical.
Oh, it's a hoot. People are having a great time with this. And he also didn't call it a burger. He called it a product.
Yes. And if you watch do you see how the fries change? Like, in the beginning, his fries are, like, laying a certain way, and then they cut away, and then they come back, and he's got, like, a different box. The fries are laying differently.
You see, I'm watching the guy. I'm actually looking at photos as we're chatting. There's no way that guy has ever had a McDonald's burger.
No, when you said he smelled of matcha, that's funny. Because, like, yep, I bet he does.
He had a little bit of kale in his tooth there, sir. Kale, in sir. Yeah, check your teeth.
No, he's not very believable at all.
It's true. Anderson, congratulations. We are going to send you a copy of my most recent book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And, of course, we're excited about the new book coming out, and we'll be telling folks more about that. But we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations, and thanks for calling in. You know, it's interesting, Dylan. I had to do double duty last night. So I had to do the Newsmax, the 5 o'clock show. Then I had to stick around for the 9 o'clock Eastern show. Didn't have time to run home for dinner.
Yes.
I went to McDonald's.
Do they have the Big Arch? Is it out yet?
They've
officially?
Got the Big Arches out.
Did you get one?
I got a Big Arch.
How was it?
There was way too much lettuce on it. Yeah. Way too much.
Yeah.
And the burger itself, I mean, it is a, it's a pretty giant burger. I mean, you're not going to go hungry. You're not going to be hungry after you eat it. So it's, I mean, it's, and it's much larger than the Big Mac or the Quarter Pounder. But you get, 2 quarter pound beef patties. So that's a lot of beef.
Yeah.
You're going to get 3 slices of white cheddar cheese. Then there's the lettuce and the pickles. And you're going to get crispy onions and then regular onions. And then they're going to slather it in sauce. And I think the problem is I'm not a big sauce guy. There was way too much sauce.
Is it actually big? Like
it's
bigger?
Huge. Yeah, it's
like the patties and the bread?
Yeah, it's huge. Okay. Yeah, it's sort of like a Whopper.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, and the poppy seed, the bun is, if anybody's had it, you know, call it. But I mean, it's a good burger. I'm not going to, but it was just too much, too saucy and too messy.
Yeah.
Some people like that.
I've heard pretty good things about it, honestly. They compare it to the Quarter Pounder or the Whopper. So it's got pretty good reviews. I haven't heard anything too negative about it yet.
The best fast food burger, it's got to be Burger King. Okay. I mean, if you're picking like between Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King, I'm going with the Whopper.
Interesting. I've always stuck to the Quarter Pounder cheese.
Yeah, really, you see, I'm not a big cheese guy, and I should have not ordered it with cheese either, but I wanted to get the whole experience. You know, I didn't want to like, you know, sometimes if you take something out, it doesn't work. So you've got to have all the components there.
It's true.
And yes. And then you've got to take that big, you know, the big bite.
It's true. I'm glad you tried it so everyone can know now.
Yeah, I thought, look, it was a good burger. I thought it was fine. But again, I'm not... And I do the same thing I like for like In-N-Out. I like In-N-Out, but their onions are weird. I don't know what it is about In-N-Out, but it's, you know, and it's a good burger. What is it? Shake Shack? Not impressed at all. Overpriced burger.
Interesting. That's how I feel about Five Guys. I love the burger.
Tremendously.
You might have to give away your fingers, though, if you want to buy it.
You do.
Yeah.
If they would just cut back on the, you know, 70 pounds of French fries they give you.
That's what it is.
They might be able to lower the burger
price.
They
have potatoes in their restaurant just laying around.
Maybe we should open up the car. I mean, it is open line Friday. Yeah. You know, if you have to rank the burger, what is the best fast food burger in America? You see, now I'm going to have to step back and say I had to go with Five Guys. If you're going to count Five Guys as fast food, then I would have to go with Five Guys.
I agree.
What about Hardee's? Have you been to it's? And I always get this confused. It's Hardee's or Carl's Jr. And I think it's the same. I think it's the same restaurant chain, just different names depending on where you are.
Because they look the same on the outside, but they're named. Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's one of those.
It's okay. That's an okay burger.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I haven't had that one.
And we got to call it. We will limit it to national burger chains, right? Because we can't throw local, Tops in there.
Well, you can't do that. Yeah, or local chains, that doesn't count because obviously those are probably going to be better anyway.
Yeah. So there was. Oh, what was it? Somebody might remember this. I think there used to be. This was before your time, Dylan. I think it was called Burger Chef, and I think that I remember that being and Shoney's, which Shoney's actually had their version of the Big Mac. Back in the day, they call it the Big Boy.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I always thought they were a hot dog place.
Shoney's.
why am I getting that mixed up? Shoney's hot dogs?
No,
that's not a thing.
I don't think it's a thing.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, someone just texted. What about Waffle House? Waffle House? Well, it's
burger.
They actually have a good burger, but I'll tell you who's got a better burger. If you're going to do, well, that's a diner burger, so I don't know if you can actually qualify that. But you know what? We'll throw it in. It's a chain. But between Waffle House, have you been to the Huddle House?
Yes, I've experienced that. Yeah.
So Huddle House used to be kind of like, and I'm so sorry to say, but I got to put it like this, but like if Waffle House is like the trailer park, Huddle House is the trailer park trash. So
I have to agree.
It's the white trash. It just used to be that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They've kind of gone through this whole, you know, I guess somebody either bought them out or they decided to revamp their restaurants. And so I stopped at one. You know that you've been that route, I-22 between Memphis and Birmingham. There are only 2 restaurants there. One of them is Cracker Barrel and the other is the Huddle House. So I stopped at Huddle House, and my gosh, what a great burger.
Interesting.
It was like a great diner burger, and the fries were crisp and like fluffy inside.
That's like a hidden gem.
I'm like, where have you been, Huddle House?
Never would have thought that.
Everybody was wearing pants, and nobody was fist fighting.
What is going on? Waffle House is dinner and a show. I guess Huddle House is like luxury now.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Tim in Gainesville, Georgia. And, Tim, I understand you've got some burger intel for us.
Well, I do, and I really love your show, Todd, and I appreciate what you do for America. But I'll say Burger King Whopper is my favorite, and they're redoing it. I don't know if you've heard that. So they're going to do an upgraded Whopper. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that. I get nervous, you know, when they want to try to improve something that doesn't need to be improved.
They're actually adding it and putting it in a box instead of just the paper. And It is going to be fantastic because it is actually the best burger. But if you have never tried Culver's, Culver's has a fantastic burger.
Okay. I've been to Culver's once, and we don't have them in this part of the country. But I had... I don't know why. Where was I at? I was somewhere, and I was at a Culver's, and I got their pot roast sandwich, and I'm like, marry me.
Yeah, their menu is very, very good. They've added them to Georgia a few years ago, and they're really good. It is a little bit more fancy than a Burger King or McDonald's, but it's excellent. But Burger King Whopper, the Whopper is probably the best because it's flame broiled. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Can you go wrong with flame broiled? I mean, I actually watched a documentary. By the way, where did I see this documentary? And it was on the history of Burger King and how they actually started, how they created the machine that does the flame broiling. It was a fascinating documentary. We'll research that in the break and share the name of it. Hey, Tim, thank you for calling in. Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and let's go to the phones. We're talking best fast food burgers in America. Let's go to Cole, listening to us in the Dalles, Oregon, beautiful area of the country, on our great brand-new affiliate there, KODL. And Cole, congratulations, you're our very first caller from KODL. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, welcome, Todd. And we're certainly, you know, you got another place to claim in Oregon now. So,
well, we were just talking about that. We just added another radio station, KOZI. So we have three radio stations now in Oregon. So we're kind of like missionaries to the West Coast now.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm operations to the station, and very happy to have you on board. We've been covering you since about November, so we're a little late getting back to you. I kind of failed to coordinate with the network to get us to do a welcome, but you've done it so nicely.
Well, and we're honored. And again, what a beautiful area. Is that the Columbia River that is nearby?
Yeah, the historic Columbia River Gorge. Yeah.
Wow.
And, we've flown, different portions of the state, but when you're doing that descent down, there's nothing more beautiful than coming down, through the Columbia River Gorge to the Portland Airport. It's pretty fantastic.
I remember when I was we were speaking in Portland. This is years ago. It was Michelle Malkin and Dinesh D'Souza and I were speaking at an event there in downtown Portland, and flew in for the very first time. And I thought, what a beautiful city, and just what a beautiful. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just so sad, you know, when you see all the horrible things that have been happening in Portland with the leftists, but what a beautiful area of the country you guys have.
Very blessed. Yeah, it really pains my heart, you know, as a teenager back in the late 60s, having, you know, going down Portland, with no problems. It was such a different era. And it truly breaks my heart to see, you know, what has happened. And, of course, Portland's not alone as far as, the blue states are concerned, but it's certainly... very, very sad. I hope something changes one of these days.
We've got to talk burgers. And by the way, Cole, don't hang up because we want to get all your info, and I want to give you a call after we get off air. But you've got a burger suggestion.
Certainly, yeah. I would say the go-to for me is probably Burger King. They're pretty consistent. We don't have a lot of choices in the Dalles. We do have a Burger King that's very successful. You know, and McDonald's is used like an emergency, but if I have the option, I'd rather, the good old Whoppers, just the regular Whoppers. Sometimes the double beef is just a little too much for me, but I have had the bacon one before too. But I would say overall the Whopper would be my go-to.
Yeah, I'm with you. Burger King is just like you said, always consistent. There's one airport, I think it's Dallas, Fort Worth. Whenever I'm doing a layover, I normally hop over to the Burger King there. So they're pretty reliable, and they got good food.
Certainly, yeah. And I have to say that, like you, I'm a Dr. Pepper fan as well. But I lean towards the Diet Pepper since I'm a diabetic. But other than that. Yeah, that's probably my drink of choice as well, too.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Cole, you know how the business works. We're about to take a break here, my friend. But
right.
Thank you for picking up the show, and we're excited to hear from more of your great listeners.
Very good. We'll look forward to talking to you some more.
All right. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We want to get your intel. And folks, that's it. You know, and we're so excited to keep adding new affiliates. KOZI is our other brand new affiliate there in Oregon. And we're adding a few more stations. We'll tell you about that coming up next week. All right. Our number, 901-260-5926. We've got Richard from Ocala, Florida. Mark from the Villages. Going to be a lot of fun. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is Open Line Friday here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, Todd. I have three quick things I wanted to tell you. I don't eat burgers. That means it'd be too much overtime in the gym if I do. I'm pretty healthy. Everything I eat goes through the Yuka app. Secondly, when you're talking about that donkey sniffing thing, I had a mouthful of water while heading to the gym, and I had to pull the car over. It went all into the car. I didn't want to get a ticket.
No, you don't want to get a ticket.
And lastly, is that new book you're writing The Golden Age or Old Age?
I'm hanging up on you right now, Mark. So, look, Mark, I don't know how old you are. I'm 57, and I genuinely do not feel my age at all, but every now and again, your brain just sort of like, it fritzes.
I'm told I look 40. I look young, but I just turned 62, but I maintain my body. I stay very healthy. Even the water I drink, I put it through a reverse osmosis machine that I have. So everything I put through my body is healthy. So I very, very rarely eat anything to do with a burger.
Well,
everything is chicken. Go ahead.
No. I cheated yesterday, and because I've been really like following this routine with a PhD weight loss, and I really am serious about trying to slim down. But every now and again, you got to have a burger. And I knew we were going to talk about it today, so I wanted to make sure I had to sample it to make sure I knew what I was talking about. See, it's show research, show prep, Mark.
Just eat a box of burger. But there's a lot of good stuff out there that you can eat. And listen, there's people in my, when they go to the, I got people in my gym that, I hear what they eat every once in a while, but they're 80 and 90 years old still in the gym working out. I mean, they're coming in on crutches and everything else and still working out. So, you just got to stay true to yourself and maintain your body, walk, exercise, stay in the gym. I mean, I work hard. I'm in the gym 2.5 hours.
Wow.
I push myself to the limit. But you can do it. You're still young looking.
Thank you. I'm still young looking. Thank you for that, Mark. And these compliments are coming a mile a minute from you, my friend. It's interesting you mention that because I have started going to the gym, but I try to go off hours. Whenever I'm there, you've got these guys, and you've probably seen them. They're in their like late 30s or early 40s, and they're still trying to, pretend like they're in their 20s. And mm-hmm. you're sitting there and you're trying to do your exercises. You're on the cardio machines or whatever. And all of a sudden you hear, roar, and you're like, what in the world? You know, and it's like really noisy.
That's embarrassing. In fact, I know there are people that do it, and I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, I'm in better shape, and I'm one of those rare people, I think. People have told me this. I'm in better shape now at my age than I was in my 20s, and I was in good shape in my 20s.
Is that right? And it's just all about good eating? Is that what you do?
It's good, healthy eating, and watch what you're putting into your body. Even the water now, they found out that there's plastics in it. And you can buy reverse osmosis machines. They run about $250, and you can run the water through it. And it's that, and they've got filters that actually will put the good minerals back into the water when, as well as take out the bad stuff. So you just got to watch out what you're putting in your body today. I never used to be like this until I hit my probably mid-40s.
Wow. Well, this is all good to know, but I will say this about water. Memphis, Tennessee has actually some of the best water in the world. They call it the Memphis Aquifer, and it's this massive underground reservoir. Like, I think it's like 1,100 feet deep, and it's naturally filtered through all of this clay and sand. And the water here, if you just, you know, I laugh when all the new people move to town and they want to get all these machines to purify the water. You're not going to get much better than Memphis, Tennessee when it comes to good drinking water. So, Mark, go ahead.
It's in the bottles. It's in the bottles.
Oh, yeah, the bottles. Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the plastic. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, Mark, good hearing from you, my friend. And who knows, I may run into you in the gym.
Sounds good to me.
All right, there you go. By the way, I want to give you an update. I forgot to do this earlier. Again, I didn't even bother to get on the scales because I knew I had the big arch last night. But I got to tell you about PhD weight loss, and I am down 13 pounds. And this weekend, not only am I heading over to the Mid-South military thing over at Lander Center, but I'm hitting the gym and the trails. So I'm hoping to get about 5 or 10 miles in walking, not running, but walking. And PhD weight loss has been a big part of the adventure here. And I love talking to their team. They check in with me weekly just to see how things are going. And the food is incredible. It's actually very delicious. And I've really been surprised pleasantly at how good the food is. But you can pretty much, you know, as long as you're eating portion control, you're doing portion control, you can eat whatever you want to eat. I want you to check them out. PhD Weight Loss. Write down the number 864-644-1900. I'll give that out again in just a moment. They're going to give you 2 free weeks on the program, and that includes food. Everything is included. It's free of charge. No strings attached. And you're going to see what I saw. And it took me a little while to be convinced, but man, is it working. And so I want you to check it out. So if you're, like you said, maybe you're getting on older, a few years older, you want to get into shape, you want to lose some pounds, well, I want you to try PhD Weight Loss. All I can tell you is it's working for me, and that's saying a lot. So again, the number 864-644-1900. You can also go to their website, myphdweightloss.com. If you mention the word Starnes, my last name Starnes, whether you call or go online, they're going to hook you up with that 2 free week program. And again, everything is all included, and that includes your food as well. MyPhDWeightLoss.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Greetings, Todd. Before I go into my point, I just want to say, if you're a buyer, seller, or spectator at the Military and War of Northern Aggression Expo tomorrow or Sunday, let me know what you're looking for. I've got a lot of contacts that have all kinds of stuff for sale if you're a buyer.
Is that right? And thank you for getting it correctly. It was, in fact, the War of Northern Aggression, so words exactly. Matter. We're not going to get into it here, but I agree with you on that. No, that's good to know. Are you, Mike, are you going to be down there at the expo?
I can't say, but if you tell me when you'll be there, I might.
All right. Well, to be honest, I have no idea. I'm heading down to North Mississippi, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop in and check it out. But anyway, it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Well, bring those books that I've got racked up there, and I'll try to meet up with you. But, Christy Noem, this, in my opinion, this was a promotion. It wasn't a demotion, because this position of special envoy to the Shield of the Americas, plural, that's, I've looked into that, and literally, and is what I can see, this is a structural part of this Agenda 2030 consolidation of the Americas. And with, you know, a president looking at taking over Greenland and Canada and now Venezuela, it's literally the globalist agenda in our face. And it scares the heck out of me, because so many people have kind of poo-pooed this idea, but the globalists have been talking about this for a long time.
Let me ask you about that. Do you think that President Trump is a globalist, though, or do you believe that you know, that he's just going into these countries like Iran, Venezuela, looks like Cuba, to protect American assets?
Yeah, exactly. It's false flag after false flag. I don't think we've got the same president we had a year ago. I think something has changed. I can't put my finger on it. I've got some ideas, but I guarantee you, We're heading in the globalist agenda. Look at Palantir, literally a surveillance grid being put upon us right now. And it has nothing to do with individual sovereignty. Our privacy is out the window. And look at all the, I mean, yes, we had a lot of good things, but now look at all the people that are losing their jobs, not just because of AI. Companies going out of business because they can't compete. The tariffs are not a good thing. I support tariffs. I support President Trump. But some things just don't work, and you have to acknowledge when it's not working, and you have to pivot.
To that point, just, about a half an hour ago, word came out, Blue Oval City, which is supposed to – it was originally going to be what the largest production facility for electric vehicles, electric trucks, in Ford's history, and it was being built outside of Memphis. And, of course, Mike, that didn't work out, so they switched over to, I believe, regular truck. Now they're announcing they're laying off 150 workers.
I suspect they'll turn that into a manufacturing plant for cruise missiles, tanks. It's going to be put to use. It could be a detention facility, but I think it'll be building war machines, sadly. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I've seen things over and over and over. I think we're looking at a false flag, probably an Operation Northwood type event where they bring down an airliner. I don't trust the CIA. I don't trust them. They've been manipulating things for too long. Sorry.
All right, Mike, gotta run. We want to try to get more calls in, but thanks for listening, and thanks for the intel on the military stuff. Blue Oval City. Originally, this is crazy. The original timeline had trucks coming off the assembly line by this year, and now we understand that it may be as late as 2029, and they're not going to be electric vehicles. They'll be gas-powered trucks, but now they're starting to lay off a lot of people. So that's certainly not looking good in the auto industry. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Oh, Mr. Todd, just a couple small items. The one caller had said something about Trump had got us into war that nobody wanted. That's only half true. Nobody in their right mind is jumping up down happy to get to go to war. We all dread it and hated it. But yet it's, like some of your callers have said, we've been at war with that country since 1979. And the sign of a strong leader, he does what's right, even if it's unpopular. We're not happy you had to go to war, but we're happy that regime's out of power. And we're happy they took away their capability to make a nuclear bomb that they would have used against us or Israel or whoever else they wanted to. And we're hoping that it gets finished and that regime is completely gone as far as being out of power. Would love to see him surrender. On another issue, they've talked about the Republican primary in Texas. We don't want the rhino to get it. Over the years, we've been sick with these rhinos. Half the time, they don't vote with us when they should, when it's necessary, when the chips are down. And the other guy, they said, might have a little baggage. But I think they ought to go with the conservative guy. I forget his name, but they need to go with him, Pascal, whatever his name was.
no matter what he's got, because we definitely don't want the rhino. And that's just my opinion on those two issues.
All right. Richard, thank you for the call, my friend, and certainly hope that you have a great weekend. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. By the way, you folks in Memphis, the White House just sharing this information on their social media. This is pretty remarkable. The Memphis Safe Task Force, Make Memphis Safe Again. Are you ready for this? So far, over 6,800 total arrests, 1,100 firearms seized, 703 gang members arrested, 806 illegals removed, and 148 missing children recovered. Well done. Thank you, Mr. President, for really transforming Memphis, Tennessee. It truly is such a great city. And all that to say, ladies and gentlemen, it is now safe to visit Memphis. What a great weekend getaway. Come on down. We'd love to be able to say hello to you as well. By the way, big doings at the White House today, Dylan. We've been talking about this for a long time, that there's just something broken right now with college sports. The NIL, it's a mess. So President Trump is convening a college sports roundtable today at the White House, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. And what I love is that President Trump is serving as the chair, Governor Ron DeSantis, Florida, vice chair, New York Yankees president Randy Levine, also a vice chair. And it looks like they're going to try to hopefully fix what's broken in college sports.
Yeah, I think it's a little sad that it has to come to this because, you know, the NCAA should have been fixing this. I mean, it's obviously there's a lot of money involved, and that's sort of the problem. Unfortunately, at this point, there's too much money going to players that are not getting an education, and they're leaving their school, and the fan experience is bad. So I'm glad this is happening, but I'm also sad that it's come to this.
You know, Nick Saban, and here's the thing, Nick Saban didn't retire from college football because he was tired of coaching.
No.
He just saw what was coming.
Yeah.
And he said, this is not sustainable.
He wanted out.
He wanted out.
Yeah.
He wanted out. So Saban's going to be there. Urban Meyer, Mac Brown from North Carolina. It's a huge group of folks. Why did they invite the NBA commissioner? That's what I don't understand.
That's a great question.
That makes no sense at all. Oh, Condoleezza Rice is going to be there. You know, did you realize that she's also a minority owner in the Denver Broncos?
I did not know that.
How about that?
That's cool.
Ted Cruz is going to be there. Eric Schmidt and a lot of, SEC coaches are going to be there. Or SEC teams are going to be represented.
Yeah, I mean, some of these older coaches, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, those are the coaches that they built great college football teams on recruiting and coaching, just being a good leader, and now none of that really matters because of the money.
Well, look at what's happening right now, by the way, with Memphis Tigers, you know, where we had one of the preeminent basketball programs in America. And now it's
we can't sell out. We can't sell tickets. No one wants to come.
Nobody's going to the games. The players leave after 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and they had senior night last night. Nobody knew who the seniors were.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they lost too.
And they lost. They lost again. It's the worst season almost, I think, in 100 years of the program. But again, it's NIL, and it's just completely ruined it. And here's the problem with Memphis. They're in the American League, which is a crap conference anyway. We have more NIL money than any other team in the league, and we're not even going to make the top 10. We may not even make the conference tournament. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, and that goes for both football and basketball. So we'll see. You know, we have a new football coach, so I'm hoping things are going to get turned around there. I know we lost our coach Ryan Silverfield to Arkansas, but
jeez,
we'll see. I don't know how happy they are about that either. But
Notre Dame, Iowa State, the athletic directors from Notre Dame, Iowa State, Indiana, Wake Forest, Oklahoma, and are going to be there. Notre Dame presidents of Clemson, Nebraska, Tennessee, Utah, Georgia, and West Virginia and Kansas are all going to be at the meeting as well. Something tells me they're going to be talking more about not just football, but just sports in general.
Yeah.
And how do you fix the NIL? I wish I would have been invited. I actually have a solution here, which is capping. You got to cap the NIL and there's got to be a four-year commitment built in and a stiff penalty if you transfer.
Yeah.
And you get one transfer, and that's it.
It should be that easy. It should definitely be that easy.
That's what I'm talking about.
You get a good education while you're there.
All right. Well, we'll let you know how all that turns out tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We're going to be covering that big meeting. Folks, it's been a lot of fun this week. Head over to ToddStearns.com. Don't forget, pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.